This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Majeau. We're talking to the author of a great new Christmas novel. She is Amy Reichert, and her book is called Once Upon a December. It's a romance with a little twist of fantasy, and it takes place in Milwaukee. Are you a romance fan? Do you have a Christmas-themed book to recommend? Well, give us a call. Lines are open, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, Jill. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. And even before we found out that we're related.
I know.
So interesting. And I didn't put you on because of that, because we just found out.
You
just want to let everybody know. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your path to starting to write novels? Because you have quite a few.
I have. This is my sixth novel. I'm not that author who always thought they wanted to write books.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until 2010, I was staying home. My kids were young. They were about to start 4K. And I figured, ooh, I'll have all this free time to do extra stuff. Ha, ha, ha. That wasn't the case. But I started trying. I had this idea for a story about a chef and a restaurant critic set in Milwaukee. Sort of all the little pieces that I loved. Food, my state of Wisconsin, romance, and I wrote my first book, The Coincidence of Coconut Cake. That makes it sound very easy. It was not. From the day I started that until it became published was almost 5 years.
Wow.
So it was a bit of a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of revision. It took me a really long time to find representation because I know my limits and I'm entirely too lazy to self-publish well. So I wanted to be with a publisher.
Sure.
And then to be with a publisher, it's just easier if you have someone to help you with those contracts. So I had to get an agent. Yeah. So it was quite the process of a big learning curve.
Oh, I'll bet. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it. Now, your background is?
I went to school for English education and then I got my master's and I realized I didn't want to teach. And ended up in technical writing with a printing company in Waukesha County. And that was really, well, very, very different from any form of creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a wonderful lesson in how to edit, how to take feedback, especially from multiple sources.
Sure.
And also how to write concisely and clearly. So I'm almost to the point where I write too concisely that I have to add more to my stories as I go. But it was really great place to start
sure.
out for me.
Well, I think that's better to add than to take away because a lot of times we get books here that I look at and it's like, you know, you could have said that in about 15 less words.
Yes.
It would have been easier to read. So editors are very important, aren't they?
Crucial.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two different editors for my books now and they are invaluable resources. They see things and connections that I didn't even know I was moving towards, and they helped me tease those out. They're just magical people who read this book almost as many times as I do and never seem to get bored of it, which is really nice because
yes.
I can't always say that. So my editor is one of my closest allies in this.
And I think they're a little bit unsung heroes in that they don't
really
get credit.
Are.
Usually, do they?
They really don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost in a lot of ways, I think that their name should be. I mean, they're usually thanked in the acknowledgments by the author if
sure.
the author is
mm-hmm.
a gracious human being.
but
they almost, I feel like, should be on the cover somewhere, or even
yeah.
in like the when you pop it open on the copyright page, you know,
mm-hmm.
edited by so and so. They should be getting some credit.
Yes, absolutely. They need to unite to get credit.
They should.
So we've said you've written quite a few books mm-hmm. at this point. How easy is it for you now to come up with new stories?
The story ideas are not the problem. It's kind of like turning on a faucet. Once you start, almost everything becomes an idea. I was recently, I took a day and I was just trying to write down ideas. Because usually if I have a really good one, I'll write it down. But it was a very intentional thing. And I had a book that was just a Reader's Digest book on stories that have been in Reader's Digest for like the past 100 years. All sorts of really random things.
Sure.
I was kind of astounded where I would read a story about, you know, some strange occurrence that happened in some small town in Wyoming. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, this could be a great story. So it's almost harder to turn it off.
Okay.
Because you can always come up. I feel like I could twist things to be a story
mm-hmm.
all the time. It's how to pick the ones that would be interesting for other people.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I've got this idea about this woman who hosts a radio show.
Brilliant.
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 So your books are classified as romances. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Do you agree with this whole classification thing?
Well, my most recent books probably fall more firmly in the romance category. But I do think, I'm going to answer your question in 2 seconds after I back up.
Yeah.
My books have always kind of been in this nebulous zone of light women's fiction with romantic elements, mm-hmm. sort of in between, because my books always have a little bit more going on. Traditional romance is very focused on the central romance, and you can't have the book without that there.
Right.
That's sort of the litmus test. If you could pull out the romance and you still have a decent story, then it's not a romance. It's usually women's fiction.
That makes sense.
From a broader scale, I think it's a helpful little tag for readers to help them find books they know that they like. I do tend to balk at the phrase women's fiction because obviously there's no men's fiction.
Yeah, notice that.
Yeah, they're either. But I'm okay with being classified as romance because that to me is more of a genre like science fiction or fantasy mm-hmm. than women's fiction, which women's fiction can be any genre. It's just basically books written by women for women, which is kind of ridiculous.
That is kind of ridiculous.
Especially,
because...
yeah. When you start thinking of that, like 70, I just saw a number, 70% of books are bought by women. So to me, that would mean like every book should be women's fiction.
Yeah, I think so. That kind of sounds right. And men read romance.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of blocks people from experiencing mm-hmm. books because, oh, it's a romance. I don't want that. But it's a great book, mm-hmm. so you should read it. So
correct. And yeah. I do find with romance that, unlike other categories, romance tends to be judged as a whole by its worst examples.
Oh, true.
Versus, say, mystery and thriller, where people tend to judge it by its best examples, or literary fiction by its best examples. I think you have outstanding books in every category mm-hmm. and you have horrible books in every category.
Yes,
and I think you should always be judging it by the best.
Sure. I absolutely agree with you. And let's talk to Vicki in Amherst, who probably agrees with you too. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Vicki.
Hi. Thanks for taking this. I am going to speak directly to the conversation you just had. My favorite romantic books are by Louise Penny, and it's about Armand Gamache's undying respect and love and unconditional giving to his wife. And that comes through in every murder mystery Louise Penny has written, in my opinion. And I also have to believe it's a reflection of her own undying love for her now deceased husband. So...
yeah.
That's what I wanted to offer. Yes.
Well, thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Love Louise Penny.
Yes.
So does Larry. He's like, can't you get Louise Penny for us? I'm like, no, I don't think so, Larry.
You might be surprised.
I never know. She just doesn't do a lot of advertising for her at this point.
She doesn't need to. People want more books from Louise Penny.
Yes.
She doesn't have to promote herself.
Right. Yes. So, we were talking about romance. Now, what elements do you think you need to have in a romance that so readers won't be disappointed?
100%. If it doesn't have a happy ending, it can be a happy ever after. It could be what they call a happy for now, which is it's just ended well.
Yeah.
And maybe their marriage will fall apart or their relationship will fall apart, but that's not how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
That is non-negotiable. Absolutely has to happen. So people often equate Nicholas Sparks with romance. But I think he's a good example of someone who writes love stories, but not always romance, because a lot of times they aren't happy endings.
I don't like that when that happens.
I don't either. So that is a non-negotiable. Otherwise, I think elements that are really common, you have that moment when the two love interests meet. And I think that's, you know, they call it the meet cute. I mm-hmm. think that's very, very important. And I do think that somewhere along the line, there needs to be grand gestures. And grand gestures could be anything from, you know, the classic running across the airport to a letter to something that is bringing those two together for the final moment. It could be huge. I mean, it could be physically huge. It could just be emotionally huge. But it is that grand coming together moment.
And what about the male and female characters? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you have to have them be certain way? Does the male have to, I don't know. You know what I mean? If you don't like the characters, you mm-hmm. don't want to read the book. So how do you make
Correct.
Them likable?
This is such a loaded question. Okay. First of all, I do want to say they don't have to be male and or female.
Very true.
They
Very
can be
true.
Any gender yes. combination.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really big challenge. I do think there is an expectation in romance and women's books in general, that characters be likable, mm-hmm. which I think is unfair. I don't think people ask James Patterson if his characters are likable mm-hmm. and get angry if they are complicated and maybe in the gray area a little bit. But reality is what it is. And I don't think they need to be likable. I just read a book by Emily Henry called Book Lovers, and her main character is... It's a funny premise for a book because it is about, if you think about every Hallmark movie in the world, you know, somebody goes back to the small town and
right.
they fall in love with whoever, but they've left like the big time person back in the big city who they don't want to be with anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this story is the person who got dumped, which I think is really fun.
That's great.
The person who's obsessed with their job, who puts that first, who is more important, you know, that is the cornerstone of their character is success and career driven and not entirely always likable. But I think that when you couple it with the challenge, and I think that Emily Henry overcomes this, is she makes her character funny. She makes her interesting. She makes her great at her job. So there's other qualities about that person to
sure.
admire. So I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did answer my
okay,
question. It's one of those things. So
I can talk forever about this kind of stuff.
Well, we're going to take just a tiny little break, and then we're going to come back and actually talk about your book. We're talking with Wisconsin author Amy Reichert about her new novel, Once Upon a December. Are you a romance fan? What attracts you? Join in by calling 800-642-1234. Our on-air producer is Clara Kniper. Happy birthday, Clara. And Trina LaSouza is our technical director. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. After 11:45, Carrie Milliken is back with us to talk about solo traveling. Right now, we're talking about romance books. And before we start talking about the book itself, Amy, we had Dennis in Two Rivers called and couldn't stay with us. He had to wait, was waiting a while. But with books on tape, okay, mm-hmm. and your book is on tape mm-hmm. Or audiobook, do you write differently so that you know, it sounds good by the ear too?
That's a really great question.
It is.
I do try to. One of the stages of my editing process is to read the book out loud, or which is kind of a fun thing, is my computer can actually read. It sounds like a robot voice,
yeah.
but that is sort of my workaround to listen to it. Because to talk for, you know, like 14 hours is a lot. I don't
yeah.
know how audiobook narrators
they do it
that.
In chunks.
Yes.
In chunks.
Very
yeah.
impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try to do that. It is sort of, you know, probably the third thing I'm thinking about when I am writing. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I
yeah.
do try.
Yeah. I
do
listen.
Want it to sound. And
yeah.
I do think I wasn't very nice in my current book, Once Upon a December, because I have a lot of unusual words like Yule Market.
Yes. And
so
those little elfy things. What are those?
Those are Nisa or Nizu.
That's right. And she does tell you in the book how to mm-hmm. pronounce it, which I appreciated because I wasn't doing it right. But I do listen to a lot of audiobooks because it just I don't have time to read. Mm. And I know some of them are really difficult to listen to.
Mm.
But I can see this one being very easy to listen to. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's get to this book. Why a Christmas book?
So there are two different things about this one. One, I love Christmas. I love Christmas stories. I love to watch Christmas movies and I love to read Christmas books. So I love all of the trappings that comes with it from a very practical reason. When I was Once Upon a December is the second book in my two book deal. And my first idea was rejected. And at that point, I had no idea what I wanted to write next. And normally I publish in the spring. But logically, I figured if I decided to do a Christmas book, that gave me 6 more months.
Ah, nice.
So,
good thinking.
So it's twofold. One, I just love Christmas and I love Christmas stuff. But the other one is very practical.
Excellent. Excellent. I am assuming you're a fan of those Hallmark movies.
Love them. And I really dove deep last year. I watched a lot.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, looking, mm-hmm. you even write a book about it, you got to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And you must have had fun coming up with these characters' names.
I did.
So tell us our characters.
So the main characters are Astra, Noelle Snow, and then Jack Clausen. So Astra, I wanted something Christmassy, but not overly Christmassy, like Holly is a little, and I liked Noelle, but Noelle seemed a bit on the nose. So it was fun creating, well, Christmas star, mm-hmm. and then, oh, her dad's into astronomy, so that would make sense why he would name a daughter Astra. And then they're the kind of parents who would think it would be funny to have Noelle Snow, like, as the full name. So that was sort of my nod there. And, you know, she loves Christmas, so of course her
Perfect.
Name is Astra Noelle Snow. And then with Jack Clausen, his full name is actually Johan, because the magical Christmas market in the book has Danish roots, and there are several Johans there. And to avoid confusion, they call him Jack. And of course, Jack Frost. Mm-hmm. It's also just an easy name to write, and it was different from Astra. These are the things you think about. You want to make sure
yes.
your main characters' names are different enough.
Thank you for doing that, because when they're very, very similar, I get so confused, especially when I'm listening to
yes.
it. I'm like, who was that again?
Yes, I truly think George R. R. Martin is secretly very cruel, because he names characters like Rhaenyra and Rhaenyrus.
That's
what
bad.
Is he doing?
Yeah, that's not nice.
No, that's horrible. And the last name, of course, is Kris Kringle, or you know, Santa Claus mm-hmm. is a play on that, but it's also Clausen is the last name of one of my college roommates.
Oh, nice.
So I stole that.
Yeah, that's fine. So tell us the basic story of this book. It's really quite cute.
Thank you. So the general story is Astra mm-hmm. and her friends every year have a tradition of going to the Milwaukee Christmas market. She looks forward to it every year. And this particular year, they're there, and she sees this new part, or what she thinks is a new part of the Christmas market. And in it are all of these adorable shops. One of them is a bakery where they make Kringle, and there are some very attractive men behind the counter. And one of them has that
connection,
that spark of recognition, but she had never met him. As far as she knows, this is new. But it's not new. This is the Yule Market. It's a magical Christmas market that only exists in December and kind of hops around the globe. And she is actually, and one of the little things about this magical Christmas market is when you visit it, you don't remember you've been there. So she has actually been to this Christmas market many, many times and has met Jack many, many times. And he is fully aware of who she is when she shows up in the bakery. But this year, something different happens, and she doesn't forget, and then she starts to remember.
And I got really hungry listening to this book.
Thank
because
you.
The Kringle sounded so good. Oh, my gosh.
I love Kringle.
Yes. Well, Kringles are amazing. Yeah.
People in the world, not everybody has Kringle.
That's true. They're a very Wisconsin mm-hmm. thing. So in the book, you kind of hop back and forth between these Christmases past mm-hmm. and the current one. How difficult was that for you to keep straight?
It was very difficult. Mm-hmm. I actually ended up, from a practical standpoint, writing a giant chunk that was just hopping Christmas to Christmas to Christmas so that I could get their story down chronologically and then kind of figure out what happened each year and how it built up over time. Because I didn't want it being where the first time Jack sees Astra, he's like, oh, I love this woman. She's amazing. I wanted him to fall in love with her over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have that kind of slow played a little bit. So that was kind of a challenge to break that down. And, you know, how do you fall in love with someone when you see them like once every,
right.
every year or yeah. not even every
yeah.
other year? Or even further than that, because the magic and time works differently in the Yule market, which is a whole thing.
Just it is go a whole thing.
Just go with it.
Yeah, suspend disbelief.
So I really worked. It was a challenge, and then I broke it all in pieces. And originally, I don't remember how I did it. I think I do it chronologically in the book. But at one point, I was hopping around in time, and it was very confusing. time is hard. To any author that writes where time is jumping around, mm-hmm. please recognize that they worked really, really hard on that.
That is difficult. That is difficult. I mean, I found myself, I think you've got the date.
I do. And like 4 years ago, 6 years ago.
Right. That kind and of thing. Sometimes I would skip that because it's, it's the title. And then I'm like, what the heck's going on now? Oh, okay. I got it.
So, well, and then I even put them in italics.
Yes, that helped.
So that it was even more noticeable that this was a flashback.
Yeah, that definitely helped. So let's talk about that whole fantasy element. Where did you come up with that?
So when going back to when I needed a new book idea, I had been toying with the idea of Brigadoon and a Brigadoon retelling where you have a magical place that appears and disappears. Because what a wonderful way to keep two people who love each other apart. That makes it really hard. So that's kind of what I started playing with. And then once I realized I had I wanted to write a Christmas book, the two just magically merged together, and the Yule Market was born on this little magical Christmas market. And it was about, and I liked the idea of it having time that worked completely different. And there had to be consequences if you left. So it wasn't just, I mean, it's I don't want to get into too much because I don't want to give things away. But something as simple as when Jack leaves the Yule Market, he gets nauseous because time moves so much faster on the outside. And so it's like stepping off of a roller coaster and you're kind of like, oh, doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So that's practically speaking there. And if you leave, you lose the benefits of if you leave, like you can go in and out during the same December. But if you stay and you leave it permanently, you lose the benefits of your long aging. So or your slow aging.
Yeah. And I love that one element that, and I don't want to get too much into it, but Christmas Eve, right at midnight.
Yep.
That's the deadline. And so there's definitely a lot of like, oh, what's going to happen here? So
yes. There's a little bit of a, because it bricks off completely from the outside.
Yeah. Very interesting. Because I was like, oh.
I know.
But it turned out just great in the end. What kind of research did you have to do for this?
That's a great question. Well, there was a lot of Christmas movie watching and a lot of Christmas book
rough.
Reading. Just to get the... Because my first draft of this was written in the spring and summer. So it is not the time you normally think of for Christmas energy. So I did a lot of watching and reading and then listening to Christmas music, of course. And then from a practical standpoint, Astra's day job is as a librarian. And I am currently on the library board for my local library. And I really love the crazy things that happen in libraries.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. If you know a librarian, ask them for stories. Like in our local library, just inexplicably, little piles of spices started showing up on shelves. We don't know why. We don't know where they came from. So I loved those little nuggets. So I liked incorporating that. And I liked incorporating the challenges a librarian has, especially a library director. People think it's, oh, here's a great book to read. But that's not it. It's all budgets and dealing with
personnel,
people in the community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be particularly timely right now, given the wide-ranging challenges with books.
Yeah.
So I wanted that to be a little bit of a love letter for that. So anyway, long story short, I asked the library director to help me, give me some ideas. And then she, of course, read it and made sure what I had in the book was accurate. I didn't want to be completely off because you don't want to make the librarians mad.
No.
So that was one. And then, of course, now the Milwaukee Christmas Market I've been to, but it has not returned since COVID. So hopefully it'll come back because, gee, we all want to go to the Yule Market now.
That's right. We'll be looking for it brick wall.
So I've gone to several Christmas markets, and that was an element of research. Before the pandemic, I had to draw on my memories and then Google a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Google. Thank goodness for Google.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking with Wisconsin author Amy Reichert about her new novel, Once Upon a December. Are you a romance fan? Do you have a favorite, maybe Christmas romance? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can send an email. It's ideas@wpr.org. Maybe you have a question for Amy about how she writes or how you can get published. I'm sure you get that question a lot, Amy. So give us a call and open line so we can get you on real quick. So Let's see. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you about. All of your books are set in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that?
Because it's the best state. That's the short answer. I truly believe Wisconsin's mm-hmm. the best state. We have the best weather because just when you're totally annoyed with whatever season you're in, it changes.
Well, that's true.
And it might happen all in the same day.
Yes, it certainly might. Yes.
And I didn't know that Wisconsin had unique food traditions until I wrote my first book and people started asking what cheese curds were, which was sad for, I was very sad for them that they didn't know about cheese curds.
That's really too bad.
It is really too bad. and then I just started learning more about things that we have a wonderful farm to table culture here in all of our restaurants. I think we were doing it before it was cool. And we have so many farms close to us that it's easy for all these restaurants to get great resources. And when you start, what really kicked it off is you just don't see books or movies set in Wisconsin that often. And I wanted to celebrate this little corner of the world because I think we're wonderful people. And since then, it's been really a joy to see, I feel like it's spreading. I'm not saying it's because of me, but I see mentions of Wisconsin more in, just sort of throwaways in movies and books.
Yeah.
Or then you have Charlie Behrens with Manitowoc Minute, who is just, I love him.
He's done so much for Wisconsin.
Although
his interpretation is not quite as real as it actually is, but we'll let him have it.
It isn't, but it is very loving.
It is very loving.
It is very loving.
Yeah, he's been on our WPR a lot, and we love Charlie. So
I did not realize I was saying ope my entire life until it became a thing. I'm like, and then I'd be like, oh, there's a deer.
Yep.
Oh, I say it.
Yeah. I read a story something about we all kind of do that. It's a natural human deal, but I think we do it more in Wisconsin.
I agree.
Because we're so polite.
We are.
Yes. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the books that you read to get you in that Christmas mood? Do you have some favorites you can share?
I do. One of the ones that I read last year that I just loved was called In a Holidays by Christina Loren. And this is sort of a Groundhog Day situation where a person has to relive the same Christmas over and over again and just changes a little bit each time and gets further along before it resets. That is just delightful. And I really, truly love everything Christina Loren writes. When we talk about romance writers who do it well, they always do it well.
Okay.
And I say they because they're a writing duo.
Oh, okay.
Christina and Loren.
Mm-hmm.
Another Christmas book I loved was The Holiday Switch, which is by Tiff Marcello. This is actually a young adult, but it's set in a town that has their one claim to fame is there was a Christmas movie back in the day that was filmed there. So there's this whole like tourism economy around it. And these two teenagers, their phones get swapped and hijinks ensue. There's your typical hot chocolate and Christmassy stuff that goes with it. I love that kind of thing. So those are two off the top of my head.
Okay, great. Well, that's good to know. Do you have a favorite romance that you are thinking about getting? Well, send us an email. 1-800, or I'm sorry, that's a telephone number, ideas@WPR.org. So you've got, we talked a little bit about people asking advice. Do you have, like, what tips do you tell people when they ask you that?
Well, one is that Google is your friend.
Yeah.
It is truly, all of the information is out there. And there are some really wonderful places that will help walk you through the process. Because there's two different pieces here. There's the actually writing the book. And I think the best advice there is the basic, which is read and write a lot. You need to understand what stories are. And when I wrote my first book, I didn't understand all the mechanics, but I'd been around stories enough that I could at least replicate it. And in a lot of ways, I kind of did a retelling of You've Got Mail with my first novel. So I was kind of playing with that idea. That's not a bad way to start, to do a retelling.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side, which is trying to get a book published.
Mm-hmm.
And there are multiple paths you can take. There's self-publishing, which I know nothing about, but that's if you're a control freak and you're really ambitious and you want to do everything yourself. Because you do. You have to find all of the components. And then for me, there's the traditional way, and that involves getting an agent and then getting a publisher. And again, there's websites. If you Google how to publish a book or how to get an agent, there's websites like querytracker.com, which will help you with that.
Okay. Do you think that someone who doesn't have like English mm-hmm. behind them like you did, mm-hmm. What could they do besides reading books to help them, you know the elements of a good story? I mean, some people write a book and they don't even know what protagonist means. You know what I mean? Because that's important to know that stuff.
It is, but I feel like you can speak coherently without understanding what a noun and a verb are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can write a story without knowing what a protagonist is or a climax is or mm-hmm. the denouement is, because you instinctively have picked up what those components are. So you don't have to. But if you would like to start breaking down the nuts and bolts, I do recommend one book, which is Structuring Your Novel by K.M. Wieland. I think it's W-E-I-L-A-N-D, I think. It is really breaks down the process into the three-act structure where we're talking about, you know, the introductory moments, the mid-scene climax, and then she also has some companion pieces that go with that, even workbooks that will really help walk you through the process. But I do think there's a point when you're writing that instinct just has to take over. And, you know, it's got to be a story you want to tell and you want to read yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good clue there. Yeah. If you want to read it yourself. Yeah. Carolyn Spooner emailed us. She has a bookstore in Spooner, Wisconsin, and they love selling your books.
Thank you.
Yeah. Her question has to do with the current trend of Technicolor cartoon covers for romances. What do you think of this trend? She's not a fan and preferred the type of covers on the earlier books, but all the publishers have jumped on the current trend. They do like trends, don't they?
They love their trends.
Yes.
I think this trend is just about to end. Now, I will say that my last two books do have these Technicolor cartoon covers. I would refer to them as illustrated covers. And there are different kinds of illustrated covers. You can get an illustrated cover like Laura Dave in 800 Grapes, which is just basically a big bunch of grapes mm-hmm. that's illustrated. Or you get the ones like Once Upon a December, which is two people standing in front of a Christmas market booth.
Right.
And they're also done in varying degrees of style.
Yes.
There are some that to me seem very cheesy and some that seem a little bit more elegantly done. I personally like mine, but
I think that I like it too. It tells the story of what's in the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I will say they're a callback to the chick lit craze of the early aughts with like Bridget Jones' Diary and Sophie Kinsella's the Shopaholic series. And those were slightly different. Mm-hmm. So I think it can be a little dangerous if people are picking up these illustrated books. They aren't all similar to that. I think sometimes you can pick up these illustrated covers and you get something really steamy. And that isn't everybody's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they're always entirely accurate. That was one perk to the earlier covers of the steamy romances usually had a person's torso, generally a man's torso on it. That was a good pickup that it was going to be something really salacious.
Yes. Usually there's a shirt that's unbuttoned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or if it was really, really steamy, like the 50 Shades series, it'd be like a high heel.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. High heel.
That's when you knew it was really, really steamy. I do think it can be confusing. It's tricky because it's all marketing.
It is. I mean, I love that she mentioned that because, you know, I get a lot of books and I've noticed for probably the last 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. for women's fiction, as we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. that there's always a woman or three mm-hmm. faced away from you,
oh my gosh,
walking
the
faceless
away.
Woman. What's with that? I don't understand. I really don't understand.
I think that the idea is if there you can't see the woman's face, then you can identify with her more, maybe. I don't know.
Or the artist doesn't want to do a face because they're harder.
Right. Right.
I don't know. It's just funny. The first time I'm like, oh, that's different. But then again and again and again. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of and my first four covers were Photoshop situations where you have the cover designer is taking elements mm-hmm. From their Photoshop library and they were photographs and then making it whatever. So, I mean, it really, I actually think I like the illustration ones because they tend to be unique and not be reused pieces of, mm-hmm. of photos.
Oh, that makes sense. So sorry, Carol.
But I get it. I understand where you're coming from, Carol. Mm-hmm. I do get it.
And it is the trends. So we're talking about the trends. So so before we go, we've only got a few minutes left. You've got a couple of events coming up. Tell us about those.
I do. I have one event on November 29th, and it is it's with Reeds by the River in Waterford.
Okay.
I always get Watertown and Waterford confused, so I'm sorry, people of both places. This is in Waterford. It is on November 29th at 6:30. It is at the Waterford Distillery. I believe it is a ticketed event, so if you're interested, reach out to Reeds by the River Bookstore, and you can get tickets there. And then I'm also doing an event on November 30th. I think that's also 6:30 at Boswell Books in Milwaukee. And that'll be just a good old-fashioned, I'm talking about my book. And it'll be a lot of fun. I'm very looking forward to that.
Oh,
great place to get Christmas books.
Oh, we love Boswell Books mm-hmm. because we have the owner, Daniel, on yes. with us a number of times. And just for those who are regular listeners, Daniel will be coming on very soon, I think the next week or two, right. to talk about his gift list of gift-giving books, I guess, to say it that way. So, and that's always fun. It's always something to look forward to. So watch out for that. So are you working on another book, Amy?
I am. I'm in a very early stages.
Okay.
I am tiptoeing a little bit more towards fantastical type stuff. So I will see where it leads me.
Uh-huh. Well, it's pretty popular right now.
It is. So I like things where the unexpected can happen at any moment.
Well, it gives you a little bit more wiggle room, too.
It really, really does. When you just get to make up your own rules.
Exactly. Well, Amy, this has been a pleasure. And
great.
So glad to meet you, obviously. I'll see you at the next reunion.
Yes. Look forward to
it. All right.
Thank you for having me, Jill.
Thank you. We've been talking with Wisconsin author Amy Reichert about her new novel, Once Upon a December. So if you like those kind of books, even if you're not sure, you'll like it. It's fun. It's got Milwaukee and it's got Wisconsin. So coming up next, we're going to be talking about travel with Carrie Milliken. So stay with us.